Are you an Israelite in the flesh? You're a Christian. It's the same for giving. So these two verses that, please, someone should read them out real quick. 25.
Verse 40. And the king would answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me."
And that's the parable where Christ said, when he comes, says, when I was sick, when I was tired, I mean, when I was in prison, did you visit me? And Christ said, no, Lord, you were never sick. Before I was born, you had already ascended. I never met you personally, but we'll meet Jesus personally on Judgment Day. And then the Lord will be saying to Sister Runki, you fed me. I was tired. You took care of me. And Sister Runki said, I never met you. I never, when did I feed you? And the Lord will say to Sister Runki, remember when you did it to who? When you did it to Pastor Judd, Pastor Jenadu. I don't think Pastor Jenadu qualifies as the least of the brethren, right? Am I correct? So Christ's emphasis is what you do to who? Christian, Jesus's giving is what you do. And please mark the choice of the word. What does the choice of the word least suggest to you? Did I say least? Literally, but figuratively. Because, of course, yeah. You know, the least does not mean the shortest, because the shortest could also be the mightiest, right? It means someone that what? My, yes, but inclusive. But I don't think that's this, what the Lord meant to convey. Someone that others are likely going to ignore. The least obvious. The least. Christ giving is focused on areas that only grace can spotlight. It's very easy for all of us to come in a meeting. Look, you're naturally predisposed to stand up and say hello to Sister BC. You know her elegant necklace, the glasses, and AARP is shining all over her. But there are people that walk in here. And so when we're saying the, our hello, mommy, you naturally come and say, mommy, good morning. The least of the brethren is that person that you are not or nobody is likely to gravitate towards. God notices those and prioritizes those. The Bible says that the least comely parts, they are the ones that we should protect. That's how we differentiate ourselves in Christianity from other religions. Christian giving, according to Jesus here, whatever you do to the least of the brethren, it targets the least of the brethren. Paul did a good job of evangelizing all over Asia Minor. He did a fantastic miracles and everything. And there was a little controversy, if you remember the book of Acts. So he had to go and consult with the elders in Jerusalem, right? They had the elders' caucus. Caucus. So Paul went to them. And he told them the wonderful things that God had been doing among the Gentiles. And they agreed and they blessed his ministry. But there was something they told John, Paul to remember. Who remembers it? Remember the poor. It is not, it is good to give to everybody. But the testament of Christian giving is what you do, like Sister Shade said, to those that are thankless, that have nothing to do to give you in return. So if you have been counting the proverbial bank account in heaven, by how much money, how much tithe you've given to the church, maybe your heavenly bank account is still empty. because you have been investing in areas that are not the highest priorities in heaven. Jesus said, and I don't want to cover wisdom, to cover knowledge in words without wisdom. I'll just let the words of Christ lie. As you think about giving today, Jesus said, it is what you do, right? Matthew 25, 14. To what? The least of the brethren. The Lord revealed something to me. There are many passages we touch on. He said, listen, you all come to me and you are praying that, Lord, help this person, help this person, help this person. This one is in need. We need this, this one. And the Lord revealed to me that, do I know that he has given enough resource to his body on earth to take care? He said, these prayer points mean nothing to me. Manna will not come from heaven anymore. Read the book of Acts. Love compelled them to bring possessions to take care of the poor. They did not pray that the poor would be fed. Out of what God already provided, they learned. The Lord revealed to me that the problem with us, the reason there's so much lack in Christianity is because it's a distribution problem, that it's not a provision problem. In fact, successively, as I was meditating, the Lord revealed even more to me. He said, see how ridiculous it is. Then you all gather together in church and you are praying that, mommy, that's $1,000 that you need. I know you don't need $1,000. Just using it as an example. You don't need it. Mommy, you don't need $1,000. Let's say mommy comes on Friday and mommy kneels down. And she really needs $1,000. It's a need. And she raises the prayer point. And we begin to pray. Although she doesn't even raise it. It's obvious that it's school fee session. It's school fee period. And students need school fees. The Lord revealed this to me. It was powerful. And it happens every time. It's house rent, school, with common problems that make the least of the brethren miserable. Miserable. And we're there joining hands by faith, praying for it. Lord tapped me one day and said to me, not literally, please, when I say the Lord said, I mean in my meditation, it brought a realization to me, a truth that was so firm, I knew it wasn't from myself, right? That's what I mean. So don't say, Brother Wiley wakes up at 3 a.m. and he's having a conversation with the Lord. No. He all said to me, don't you see how ridiculous it is? The very church in which the prayer is being said may have $500,000 in their account. Why are you praying for that? But that money is for a building project. Whereas it is whatever you do for the least of the brethren, not the building. We spend more money on infrastructure than on the least of the brethren. Christian giving. I think most of you are looking at me and say, but what have I got? I'm not the one that manages the church resource, right? So what are you? Who are you preaching to? Why don't you preach to yourself, right? That you may know. I don't know how Jesus will, but I'm just laying down God's principle. Anything, problem you can solve by denying yourself a bit, please don't pray about it. When God reveals a need to you, if you notice, he has also provided a means by which you can help. But how do you prioritize? Do you prioritize that bag over your cousin's needs? You prioritize that jewelry over your cousin's name. Can't. Whatever you do to the least of the brethren. The Psalm 50, giving to the Lord is what we're talking about. So there's the myth that when you bring your offering, because that's what we ask for, and put it into the church basket and your tithe, you're giving to what? You're giving to God. But Jesus said, when you give to me, what you give to me is what? Eh? Is everybody bored? And time is gone. And I'm not going to rush this topic. If I have to revisit it in a month, we'll do that. Because I want us to understand the mind of God. There's so much myth about Christian giving. God, according to Matthew 25, verse 40, is what you put in the offering basket, in Sister Buki's offering basket. I know. It is what? Is there any follow-up, any revelation about that someone wants to share? Because I just want us to be basic. Jesus said, what you do to the least. I'm not saying that what we put in there are other passages that will cover that. But the reason I'm emphasizing this is because I hardly ever hear or say, or people say, or people write books that when you give to the poor, you are loaning that to the Lord, that which the Bible actually says. But give in church every time. Brings, write a check and put it in the basket. In fact, there are some people. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I don't know where it is, but he said something. He was mad with the Pharisees. He said, you disobey the law of God. You disobey the law of God. It's because you have taught the people that it's okay not to give to their parents. He said, you have actually taught them, do you remember that passage? That whatever you give to the church is koba. That what's important is what you bring to the altar. He said, which one is greater? Is it the altar or the Lord that blesses the altar? He said, therefore you disobey the law of God. You've taught them so much about tithe and offering and giving to an organization that they have now taught that it's okay to ignore their families, to ignore their poor relatives. And do you know, there's been several stories in Christianity where people have been Christians so brainwashed that they stole from their workplaces in order to fulfill a pledge. And it's because of the teaching. Because they've taught you that the windows of heaven only open when you bring to a building. And they do not know that the people is the church. So you see people who are rich in tithe and offering, but poor in charity. They almost want to buy a room in heaven. I'm sure there are people, I don't know why churches keep tight books, tithing. You know, there are many churches, booklets of tithe. Okay, maybe they have, of course, for tax reasons here. I have something about that one too, but I'm not going to, because you're not going to like me if I say it. I'm not going to say it. I suspect that some people give a special book calculating how much they have in their heavenly account times 10, tenfold, right? So I gave $20,000 last year, so I must have 20,000 times 10, 200,000 in heaven this year. It's transactional, not love. Psalm 50, point number two about giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord, point number one, is not giving to a structure. According to Jesus, our Lord, not Brother Wale, it is what you do, and we'll read other verses that say, in secret to the least of the brethren. We're good, Dutton? We're good? No controversies. Sister Jackie, no controversies. Have I been controversial? Nothing. We're good. Mommy. Okay. All right. Psalm 50. Where is that Psalm 50? What verse did I say? 12 to 23. One verse at a time, very slowly, please. If that's all we can read, we'll read that and go home. Who was talking? Check now. Who is talking here? Maybe you need to go to the earlier verses. I don't like people reading the Bible at me. I like people reading it in context to me. Okay, who is talking? Do we all agree? God is talking here. The great Yahweh, the mighty Spirit, the creator of heaven and earth, our heavenly Father, the great divine, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, merciful, immortal, invincible, the everlasting Father of light, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Your God, my God, the most tender, the most compassionate, the most loving person. He who bears our burdens upon his own shoulders. He who knows your future and my future, who loves us with an everlasting love. Your provider, your keeper, your redeemer. This is God talking here through David. Abi, oh yeah, where's the mic? Do we need? I can give her this. No, we have to. What does it mean to give to God? We have about 8 topics under this, but we're going to close on just this.
If I were hungry,
God says, if I were hungry,
I would not tell thee.
Wait. You know, at times when we talk about giving to God, Biola says something all the time, right? But this is a small distraction. She said, every time I need something, ministers tell me to go and have faith and pray about it. And when it's delayed, I'm accused of not having enough faith. Then she said, how come when I need something, they come to me and my kind? Why can't they go and have faith for that building that they want to build? And I just laughed. So he said, this is standard now. Shebi, you people have big faith. So that thing that you want to do, that every Sunday you keep digging into our pocket, why don't you demonstrate faith to us? And the building, she just stand up. He said she's never seen, she didn't say this, I'm adding it, that she's never seen a building stand up from the ground. That it's as if in the tone, it's as if the Lord is needy. Suddenly the Lord needs me to build a temple. He needs me to finance your ministry. He needs me. It's so needy. And the Lord is saying, if I was needy, I would not be doing, what do you call them that we do in church? Fundraising in church. If I were hungry, I'm not going to ask you. Please read it again.
If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof.
Stop. So when you're in an environment that they are making you feel, you either give or the work of God is doomed, I don't think it resonates with the verse we're listening to. The Lord is, I'm not a needy God. You cannot help me. I can source stuff myself. When she said I went, that's true. After all, the formula is faith, according to them. They've written 1 million books about faith. Some of us have faith so much we have headache. So why don't they demonstrate faith and let the jet just materialize in an anchor in BWI, right? After all, that's what you teach me. How come I'm the only one that has to have faith? And then you take money from me. Maybe you don't have faith. Maybe both of us have this faith problem. Or maybe you're just deceiving me. Jesus said, if I were hungry, I'm not going to go to Dr. Babs. I'm sorry. He's stingy? No, I just want to be, because you know him more than all of us, so that I know, so I won't even waste my time. Let me just delete his number. I just block it. Now, okay, it's not now say, guys, please, I need someone. I say, you're not the least of the brethren. Next verse.
Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. 16. But unto the wicked, God said,
Let's stop there. Giving unto the Lord. Lord is not needy. What the Lord is asking from you is not your tithe and offering. Offer unto God what? What happened there was that the children of Israel were very diligent in giving bulls, tithes, offerings. And the Lord got tired. And he said, you think I'm hungry? You think I need this stuff? This is what I need from you. Offer to the Lord what?
Offer unto God thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. And what?
And pay thy vows unto the Most High.
There you go. When you come into the house of the Lord, don't come with a fountain pen and a checkbook. He doesn't need that. Come with a soft heart. Come with a soft, because he's above and we're below. Let's go. There's a passage I remember in the book of Amos. Someone should open to Amos chapter 5. What verse? And then we'll close on that. It's Amos chapter 5. And this verse just shocked me. Huh? Yes, I'm looking for it. Let's start it from verse 21. I'd never seen these words until very recently in the Bible. But this is God's mind. At his, wait. Yeah, let's from verse 21.
Hate.
I what? Have you ever seen how God say I hate? Go.
I despise your feast days.
I will fight you. You're going too fast. Please, start from the beginning.
I hate.
Continue.
I despise. Your feast
day. Wait. Sorry. I hate. Have you ever seen the Lord say, Titi, if someone told you the Lord uses the word hate and despise, would you believe that? No. Who is talking here, Sister Success?
It's God.
It is God. We're not making this stuff up. This is coming directly from the Bible. The topic A of giving is, what does it mean? What does God want? What does it mean giving by giving to the Lord? He says, I hate, I despise. It's Brother Wale that uses words like that. God doesn't. Right? He's the firebrand extremist, fundamentalist. Right? Right? Olashade. But here is God, money. This is not me. Okay. Now let's continue. What does God hate and despise?
Your feast days.
Okay, you are reading King James, right? Or New King James. Please give us one of those liquid translations. Which one is that? Okay, let's go for a more liquid translation.
I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals.
Okay. You're even faster than Sister Success. When God looks at most of what we call sacrifices to him, what he sees is hypocrisy, whatever. That's what he sees. So let's be sure we are offering to God what he wants. Now, back to the new king. Sister Success, why did you run away? He says, I hate, King James says, I hate and despise your feast days. That means The Easters and the Christmases, I hate and I detest. In the context in which this was written, it meant the Passover feasts and all of those. But if we're going to apply it to our context, the Lord said, I'm not impressed with your Easters and Christian and Christmas celebration, but those are feast days, right? These days. All right, next line. 21, 22. Right?
I will not smell in your solemn assemblies.
I do not savor your sacred assemblies. God is saying, I'm tired of your church services. Abi, in the context of the New Testament, is Sunday service. That's a sacred assembly, right? That's when we go to church. Although you will never find the word go to church in the Bible. We are the church. We don't go to church. But we still have assemblies, and we call them sacred. God says, I abhor them. I do not enjoy attending services with you people anymore. Continue to read.
Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them.
You can burn offerings. You can give all the tithes and offerings you have. You can do all of that. I'm not going to take them. The pastors will take them, but I will not. But I don't want to give to the pastors. I want to give to God, right? And I guess the reason is that they are not giving what God wants or how. We're not doing that. Continue to read.
Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings.
So I'm not even going to regard your pledges. I take that as pledges. Fattened, it means a little beyond the ordinary. You know, there are times when you're so happy and you package an envelope for the Lord. You know? So I'm not going to regard them. I'm not going to be bribed. Okay, continue. We go further down. Barashala. Jonah. All right?
Take away from me the noise of your songs.
When we sing, what do we say? We're offering what? A sacrifice of praise. That's giving something to the Lord. Remember, the topic is what the Lord giving to the Lord. He said, in case you think that when you dance and sing to me, right, I'm listening. He said, it's noise to me. And you know, you'll see why now. No matter how coordinated your choir is, it is noise to me. Because I need to let us know as a group when we sing that no matter how sweet your voice is, the morning mass in heaven is better than anything you can offer. You can't surprise God with coordination. He's looking for something deeper. You can't match AJ Gabriel in singing. I can imagine someone said that the Hallelujah chorus is close to perhaps what the Lord hears. I don't even think so. I think it's a very bad copy of a mass gone wrong in heaven. And they said, hardly has there been any orchestra that matches the majesty in terms of praise of that chorus. God hears fantastic. So when he looks among us, he's not looking to how tuned we are. He's looking to how tuned our heart is. Incidentally, when your heart is tuned, your songs, your singing will be tuned too. He said, I will not listen. This shocked me. And then, Timio, for what?
For I will not hear the melody.
I'm not even going to hear your good drumming. This scripture actually calls it melody. That means it's good. But God says, I'm not even going to listen to it. Then he said, well, let's read it together. But let what?
But let justice run down like water
and righteousness like a mighty stream. In the absence of this, we're not giving to the Lord. We're going to close with a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. Giving to the Lord. Chapter 13. Spent more than 13 minutes.
My goose. And though I bestow all my goods.
We're talking about giving, right? If I give everything I have to the poor, okay?
To the poor.
Uh-huh.
And though I give my body.
Even if I give my body. Uh-huh.
To be burned, and I have no charity, it profited me nothing.
It's enough. Giving to God must be predicated on love. It starts from the heart. Without opportunities, we go into other areas of giving. I'd like us to study on our own 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and practice it. This is what God means by giving. How do we give is another topic we must talk about. To whom do we give? We've touched a little bit on it today. I pray that will be always Christians whose hearts are moved. One thing you will notice is that there are two objectives of giving. We, even in our best intentions, we focus on one. We give so that people will be comforted, right? But do you know that this is not actually the main reason for giving in the New Testament? Because you see, if God wanted to, there'll be no poor and nobody uncomforted on earth. And for every brother that you comfort, there are many other brothers that God deliberately refused to comfort because it deferred their comfort to the time of the consummation of all things. So we cannot solve all the problems in the world. The main reason why you should give as a Christian is because in your heart, to see thanks given to God. God is the reason for everything. If I look at Sister Shade, compassion in my heart will say, oh, I don't want my sister to go through this and I'm going to make a sacrifice. But what is the motive behind that? Because if the motive is just Sister Shade, that's just half. If it's, oh, how I want my sister's heart and mouth to be filled with praise to my Savior. That way, I become an agent of God in the act of giving, not a Lord. The reason why we're so proud and we look at what we give is that we think we own it. And the Bible says, what is it that you have that you've not been given? Let us pray. Lord, please teach us to give. Every need here, as we've heard this, move us, move our pockets. Give us the grace to carry out what you have told us today. I pray that the evil one will not remove this or cause us to embrace any understanding that is less than that which you have given by your Spirit. Bless us this week, Lord. Bless our going out and our coming in. Let our hearts be filled with love. Help us to be agents of yours in everything, glorifying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah.